Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of repeats in there, Charlie. But, you know, I am very conscientious with myself. I don't much worry about what other people think of me, but I am very conscientious about what I think. And I have a very strong desire to play it fair, you know. So when I go back and do a show, I really have to work hard to try to repeat something when I don't have to. There are various reasons that I repeat material if I do, and some of it has to do with what is going on in our world today. I mean, he was so involved in everything that was going on in the world 100 years ago. I mean, he knew all these people from Carnegie to Rockefeller to, well, he knew Teddy Roosevelt. They had his own opinion of him. What went on 100 years or more ago? We're just replaying it.
Really? How is it that his savage humor about...
We are replaying the story of the rich and the poor right now. After the Civil War, when he became well-known as a writer and became a public person who was known everywhere, this country became an industrial power all of a sudden after the Civil War. Also, 1870s was the biggest decade of immigration that our country ever knew. People came from Poland, they came from Ireland, they came from Russia, they came here. And they were hired at starvation wages. And the situation that developed was very much like what has happened today, where we have a big cleavage, a big problem, really, between the rich and the poor, because the rich are getting tremendously rich, and the poor are not moving very far. The labor unions began in the 1870s. Now, what do you think they were called? The beginning of the labor unions. What do you think they were called? Socialists. Communists. Nothing has changed.
One of my favorite Twain quotes is, "History does not repeat itself, but it does rhyme a lot."
That's pretty good. This is what we're looking at today.
Let me ask you some more about Twain here, and about the way you go about performing and preparing. Do you prepare differently now for getting on stage to play Twain than you did in 1949?
The only thing is the makeup doesn't take me as long, thank God. I mean, I am about as dumb as anybody could be. I mean, I don't do things the easy way. Looking back on it, I realize, Holbrook, you really are a dumbbell. If there's two ways to do something, you will do it the hardest way. So when I made up for Mark Twain when I was 35 years old or 30, I took 4 hours, twice as long as the show, to try to look exactly like him. Fortunately, my hair got gray, so I don't need a wig anymore, and my face is a gravel pit, so I don't need to put any lines in it. And aside from the nose and a few other things, you know, I could reduce the makeup to 2 hours instead of 4, so that makes it easier. And then when I do the show, I look up what I did when I was there before, if I was there before, and I'm just working on another piece of material right now.
So what?
That I'll be putting in. It has to do with politicians running for election and lying like thieves. And that's okay. Even if you're a Christian, it's okay to lie as long as you're a politician. And if you're a Christian and you're not supposed to lie, the one time you can lie and it's okay is if you're a politician. Because there's not one politician on the scene today who is not telling some kind of lie. Let's face it, pal.
Okay.
That's it.
Do you think audiences today are reacting differently than they did a few years ago because of this parallel that's grown up, or are they reacting as they might have back in Twain's day?
Yeah, I think they are. We're reasonably well-educated for a huge group of people like Americans. The problem we have in responding to your question is we have a defensive mechanism in America where the other side is wrong. We're right, the other side is wrong. We have to defend ourselves. Well, this works against the democratic idea because they're right on both sides. There's wrong on both sides. And the terrific problem we have that is growing more and more serious has got to be addressed. I hear people talk about keeping America the way it was, you know, the founding fathers. Well, listen, my family came into this country in 1635. In a boat called the Golden Rod with Reverend Hull's company and landed in Weymouth, Massachusetts, right near where I was brought up. I came into this country, but my family did about as early as anybody. And I'm a dyed-in-wool American, and I love this country, but I also do not love an awful lot about it. I want it to be better than it is. And so I'm not going to walk around marching with a flag and try to pretend that what's going on with lynching people because they're black is okay. I'm sorry, it's not. It never was, and it isn't today. What we got to try to understand here is that we are living in a democracy. What does a democracy mean? Think about it. It doesn't mean you're right all the time. It doesn't mean I'm right all the time. It means we each have an opinion and we have a right to it. And it also means we have to listen to each other. We have to listen to each other or we're going down. We're not living in a world today where we can afford to shut our ears against the voices of other people. This country has a moral ethic. It was expressed probably best of all by Abraham Lincoln, whom I played 3 or 4 times, and I studied very deeply. I have the greatest reverence in the whole world for Abraham Lincoln. And we have to listen to him. The message he gave us, of the people, by the people, for the people, we must never let go of that great idea, because if we do, we're going to lose our way, is my opinion.
When comedian George Burns was in his 90s, he famously booked a stage in Vegas for when he turned 100, and he was still performing at 98 or 99.
Yeah, he was.
Do you have similar intentions?
Well, I just don't know. I'm 91 now, and I have to tell you, I get tired easily. Yeah, I'm doing okay, according to other people, but not good enough for me. I want to keep going out on the stage and doing the show. And thank God, when I get out of the stage, I don't know, something happens. I just feel so comfortable out there. I really feel at home out there. I just feel easy, and being with the audience, being a part of that feeling of an audience out there is my life. I love it. I love the feeling of people communicating with each other, Charlie, you know?
Mr. Holbrook, it's been a very great pleasure for me to speak with you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Well, let's keep moving.